Radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill.
I'm Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, we're going to have a guest on today's show. We'll be hearing the music of Matthew Albeck. First of all, I really want to send a big thank you to everyone who's donated to our summer fun drive here at Radio Catskill. Thank you so much. And you know, if you haven't donated yet, there's still time. The fun drive ended at noon today, and so we're not really going to be interrupting our programs, except for now. We're not going to interrupt our programs to ask for donations, but you know, we are still counting on your support. We can't be here without your support. And we're close to making this $55,000 goal that we've had set. So if you are still interested in making a donation, you can do so now. Please go to wjffradio.org and get us over the finish line. Thanks so much. And then one more thing before we actually get into the heart of the matter. Right now, there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9 p.m. tonight for much of our listening area, including Sullivan, Delaware, and Ulster counties in New York, and Wayne and Pike counties in Pennsylvania. Showers and thunderstorms are expected this afternoon and evening. Isolated storms may become severe with damaging winds. Isolated flash flooding is also a possibility. Chance of showers taper off in the overnight with a low of 53 degrees. And tomorrow, a beautiful day. Cool and dry, mostly sunny, with a high of 72. So, you know, the weather and everything. What I really enjoy is music, and especially the music of singer-songwriters. And I've been really excited to have guests on the show. I regularly am making a big effort to help introduce some of the talent that we have here in our area to my listening audience. And on today's program, Matthew Albeck has just released some new music, and he's joining me here in the studio today. Here he is. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Kathy.
So some new music. That's very exciting. Very exciting. Tell me a little bit about what is coming out.
This morning, my new album called Eyes of the Alligator was released.
Eyes of the Alligator. Okay, spooky.
Yes.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was recorded last year with a great band called The Immigrants, mm-hmm. who I had the great pleasure of playing a show with yesterday. The Immigrants features Robert Kopeck on bass and Brian Kopchak on drums. Brian also engineered, mixed, and mastered the album. So
wow.
The tracks that you hear today, it's the first time I ever got an album back from, you know, whoever's working on it, and I was totally satisfied and totally excited about how it sounded. Up to this point in my career, wow. I've tried to record albums a couple of times, and you know, some of them were, I guess, mediocre productions. But I never, when I got it back, I never heard every track and was so excited until I got this a couple months ago. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
And his name again, your drummer,
Brian Kopchak,
and he did the mixing and mastering.
Yes,
you know, that's that is a complete separate skill and art unto itself, mastering
but
and mixing.
He also engineered it.
So that's
mind blowing. Sorry to interrupt. While we were recording, he was engineering. So we were in a studio, and he's like, okay, take one, press the button, and then he's playing drums.
Yeah. Okay, that's – well, you know what? I think we should hear this track, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the dual role of Brian. How interesting. All right, this is the title track from Matthew Albeck with The Immigrants, and it's called Eyes of the Alligator. virtuoso. Really astounding. Really amazing.
Thanks.
Oh, man. I love that. The sound of this. You see, I've been listening to you play live. Matthew's been, or I'm going to call you Matt. Can I call you Matthew? Which you prefer?
You can call me Esteban if you want.
Esteban has been playing locally in our area. No, I mean, you know, there's an amazing music scene going on here, and I've had the pleasure of listening to this particular song, you know, probably since it was recorded, you know, because I've heard you play it live and stuff. But this is an amazing performance. So I'm just really curious, is that all one take?
Most of the album was recorded one take, two takes. We recorded the whole thing in about 3 hours.
Okay, so then that answers a lot of other questions. So you're all playing live together?
Yeah.
Are you in the same room?
We're in the same room.
You're not in separate booths?
No, we're in Brian's studio. My amp is in a different room, which is how people do it sometimes.
Yeah, but you're all in the headphones.
We're all in headphones. We're all in the same room, yeah.
Uh-huh, but you're all in the same room. But he's going direct on... You're going direct with your amp is in another room with a microphone on
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
And then how did you record the drums in a situation like that?
You'll have to ask Brian. I don't really know.
But I mean, you're all in this, you're in the same room with a drummer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. See, I'm fascinated by, I don't know about how my listeners feel, but I'm fascinated by those kind of details because there's something about the clarity and the precision, and it just seems like a digital TV picture. It's really sharp, it's really clear, and yet it has a lot of space and it's really impressive.
Well, that's why you play with world-class musicians. Because
yeah, but then the music, let's talk about what inspired you to write that song.
Gosh.
What inspired you? Eyes of the Alligator. I mean, I feel like it's very visual music. When you give me a name like that and I hear it, yeah, I've got that animal in my
mind. I'm a synesthetic. I think I pronounced that correctly, which means that I see colors when I listen to music.
I've heard of that.
And so whenever I write a song, I usually instantly have a very colorful image in my head of what represents that song in some way. And that's where the titles come from. So I think...
How many... When you were writing that song, you're writing the song, how many times did you have to sit down to write the song?
Oh, that probably fell out of me in 5 minutes.
No.
Yeah. The form of Eyes of the Alligator is very simple. It's a very repetitive, but I think it's a very good catchy melody. And, you know, that's the, when you're writing music, you want to try to come up with really original sounding melodies.
Oh, God, yes.
And so that's, you know, how I spend most of my time.
Well, interesting, because you, as you're playing, and it's a trio, but you keep entertaining us because you change your guitar sound throughout the song. There's a verse and then the sound changes and then the sound changes and then it comes back to that lead thing. And so if it is the same melody, it registered with me that that's a repetitive melody. I mean, I know it is kind of a repetitive riff, but it didn't strike me like that. It just seems to be entertaining. Like,
right. Well,
new.
I like it. Well, exactly. We're, as an improviser, you have to reinvent the melody or the feeling of the song every time that it comes around, or maybe just constantly you're always improvising. And when I get to play with musicians like, you know, Brian and Robert, they hear every little nuanced rhythm that I'm playing. And I hear, because we've played a lot together, I can hear all of their nuanced rhythm stuff. And so we get into this really tight thing where everyone is really
Deep listening to each other.
It's just a joy. I'm like a little kid at that point.
All right. So now, we're going to get on to other subjects, but just more questions about this song. So to get that kind of, because that is somewhat, has an improvised feel. This recording has somewhat of an improvised feel, but I'm just unable to discern how much of that is improvised and how much of that is the same every time you play it. Like, how long did you guys play together on this song before you recorded that? Not very long, or for a couple months, or like, you know what I mean?
Oh, that might have been a first take.
Oh my God!
I think we did two or three takes.
It fresh out of the bottle.
Of every song, but
that is so exciting.
They had already played the tunes before.
Okay.
And I think Brian was fairly new to it at that point, but yeah, they're just world-class musicians, and they pick up on stuff. I remember the first time we rehearsed, And Brian and Robert have known each other for a long time because...
So Brian is the drummer?
Brian's dad was a jazz guitarist that used to play with Robert a bunch. So he's been around music and musicians his whole life. But the first time that I went in to rehearse, I believe it was at Brian's studio. And, you know, my music, every song has a different rhythm. It's very global. You know, that's part of my mission is to bring all these rhythms together.
Rhythm.
And combine them with really... original melodies. But yeah, I threw all these different rhythms at Brian and he just played them right back to me.
Oh, I love it.
Brazilian, Latin, funk, jazz, like he could play everything. And I instantly knew that this would be someone that I would play
with. Oh, you know, as a composer and a musician, you're fortunate to have that collaboration. That's amazing.
I'm blessed.
And so your bass player, Robert, what's his last name again?
Robert Kopech.
Kopech. Now, it's obvious to me when I hear that recording, but I just wanted to point out, that's not an electric bass. That's a stand-up, like a double bass.
Upright bass.
That is an upright bass. And the facility on that thing and the beauty of the different timbres and the vibrato is an amazing musician.
Robert's really a master.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible recording. So, you know, when I invited you to play today, I asked you, because I've heard you play and I've heard all these different kind of global influences, but I couldn't really tell exactly who you personally might have been influenced by. So I'm curious.
Well, Kathy, I've been waiting a long time for someone to ask me that. So I hope you listeners out there have a couple minutes or you're in your drive, you're having your coffee. I wanted to just kind of give props to all the people that really helped me get to where I am now. When I was 11 years old, I got my first CD. It was Guns N' Roses' Use Your Illusion 1. And I was listening to Slash play.
Slash.
And he's a big reason that I'm here right now. I remember going out to the kitchen and telling my mom that I want to be able to do that, what Slash is doing. And she got me guitar lessons and guitar the next week.
Electric guitar?
It was an electric Epiphone. I still have it. I played it at my New Year's show, actually, which I think you were at Old Foundation. But yeah, it's an old Epiphone. Yeah, so my mom, shout out Mama Dukes, Jeannie Allbeck, and Lee Allbeck, my dad. They're both, my dad came to the show yesterday. They've both been incredibly supportive of my endeavors. So shout out to you guys. But anyway, so I wanted to shout out Guns N' Roses because they were a big influence.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
And then
was it the passion? What was it?
Slash is one of the greatest guitarists alive still. He's so clean. And we could talk about Slash for a long time. But
go on.
The next big thing for me was Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder. That was huge. That was huge. All the grunge music really hit me hard.
Was your age. That was your high school.
As you know, music is very generational. So that you hear when you're 14, 15, 16, that will be your favorite music. And that's why people that are a little bit separated in age can't agree about certain bands. And that's okay. It's just...
Pearl Jam, I'm a little bit older than you. The first time I ever heard Pearl Jam was because Neil Young recorded with them. When he did Mirror Ball, I wouldn't have heard of Pearl Jam.
The godfather of grunge,
but
Neil Young.
But now, Eddie Vedder, I've been playing his Earthling album, Earthlings.
Oh, I haven't
been
heard
playing...
that one.
You haven't heard Earthlings. We'll have to go offline, talk about that. Yeah, yeah. So tell me, all this rock and roll, and yet when I hear you play, I hear like a studious classical trained scales. I hear jazz. I didn't expect grunge and
so
Slash.
I was born out of rock and roll, but I also, another shout out, Pink Floyd, big influence on me. And then Fish was a big influence on me. I saw Fish 36 times when I was a teenager. And that was a really fun thing to do when you couldn't buy beer, but you could go to a Fish show and have a great time. So we did that and it was really fun. But I was really there for the music and Trey Anastasio really inspired me. Although I never spent time learning his licks or his style, which probably is a good thing because I don't think I sound like him. Which I'm happy about because I remember encountering guitarists and they just made their life out of sounding like Trey. And they can do it, but they have no originality.
It's like a cover. Covers are beautiful.
And Jerry Garcia is another thing. I love Jerry Garcia's playing. But, people that devote their life to just covering Jerry Garcia's style. I don't get it, but you know, to each their own. A couple of other things I wanted to mention. Let's see. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex Magik is still one of my favorite albums of all time. John Frusciante is one of my favorite guitarists. Yeah, and Flea is the man. The whole band is great. And then
Chili Peppers drummer is with Eddie Vedder on Earthlings. It's very
oh cool.
Chad
Smith.
You got to hear it.
I want to hear.
But
that.
Now you know. But lead me in the direction of a jazz influences. You're like so. You're like 19 or 20 at this point. I'm trying to keep track of the.
Sure. Yeah. So I go to college.
Cultural references.
I write music in college.
Did you take music in college?
I studied composition, but I was an environmental biologist in college.
Yeah. So you were a scientist.
I was a scientist
dabbling in music,
which I think really has helped me.
Oh please, there, it's the same.
I did get a scholarship to go study at Berklee College of Music because I played in the jazz rock band in high school. And this is kind of a funny story. The rhythm section in the jazz rock band was my band. So we would get to school. The jazz rock band practiced before school. So the jazz rock rehearsal was like 7 to 8 or something like that. And we would get there. That sounds a little early. Maybe it was like 7:30. We got there an hour before the jazz rock band, which happened before school, to practice with my own band.
So yeah, you really like woodshedded. You put in the times. You put in developed chops, the repetition.
Well, I didn't really have chops back then. But
you were playing guitar, though.
I was playing guitar, but I didn't. It wasn't my life yet.
And then environmental biology.
In college, you know, you have to study.
Yeah,
so
you do.
There wasn't a lot of time for guitar, but I still wrote music and played. And then after I graduated college, I realized, oh, I'm not a biologist. I'm an artist.
And
I was speaking of that, shout out to my Aunt Mary. My Aunt Mary is a very talented painter and artist. And she was the person that really got me creating visual art and sculptures as a young kid. My brother and I would get dropped off at Aunt Mary's and my parents would go off and we would just play all day on at her beautiful farm and sculpt things and paint, and it was great.
I have the impression that you live the life of a musician now. Music is your main source of income, and this is your main...
It is all that I do.
It's all that you do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, huge respect for that, because not everybody has that ambition and determination and ability to pull that off.
Well, there's no other way to be.
But I know you teach as well.
There's no other way to be great.
That's true. But, you know, I would love to hear you play something. You know, I'm sitting here across from Matthew Albeck. I'm Kathy Geary. You're listening to Now and Then. And I'm just thrilled to have this live, talented, inspired musician who has been supported in so many ways by not only his parents, but the family around him. What a beautiful thing. That can change your life. So we got to hear the title track from The Eyes of the Alligator. And tell, before you play something live, where is that music available?
On all platforms.
On all platforms. So you mean Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Apple Music.
I mean, if you got a couple bucks out there and you like the music, please purchase it.
Yes.
It goes without saying that I put incredible amount of work.
This
into
is his life. Yeah, so
all this music.
It.
So, yeah.
So, and it was just released this morning.
Yes.
So, I mean, here we have, you know, a world premiere, Eyes of the Alligator just released. So I'm so excited.
That's right.
But, you know, that is a fantastic trio that you perform with. But today, Matthew is here solo, sitting here with a very beautiful classical nylon string guitar.
That's
and
right.
He's about to play something for us. So tell us, what would you like to play?
Sure. Well, before I do, I know it's a lot of shout outs today, but I did bring the acoustic today because it's become one of my main guitars to play at my gigs. And I have some of you know I play at the Old Foundation on Saturdays. Sadly, I won't be there tonight because I'm playing at Rafters. But big shout out to Ian and Jessica at the Old Foundation. They've supported me in incredible ways. And yeah,
that's beautiful.
Thank you so much for all your help and Yeah,
live in a beautiful place, and
we
the
do.
Arts and the culture and theater, it's happening here, and you're such a vital part of that scene. So,
oh, thank you for saying so.
That's lovely. Thank you. All right, so I'm trying to coax him into playing for us. So.
I know, I'm very talkative today.
It's all right. It's a good thing.
Very loquacious.
You got a microphone. That's what they stimulates talk.
I've literally been waiting for someone to ask me about my influences for a long time.
Seriously,
so that's why I'm excited.
And I still haven't. We still have not reached the bottom of the well. We jumped from rock and roll to jazz. But I wanted to hear you play before we talked some more.
All right, I'll shut up and play a new composition of mine. This is called Island Girl.
Lovely. You have like an internal metronome going on.
Yeah. Well,
very steady rhythm.
As I tell my students all the time, I practice with the metronome every day.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You
sure.
really do?
Yeah.
I seriously do.
I have a 26 minute warm up with a metronome. It's called the Gauntlet. And I warm up in a new key every day, but it's mostly not. Intellectual, it's mostly fingers.
It's your body.
And then I, you know, go outside, get some air, and then come back in and practice real music. And the new thing that I've been practicing, which is so helpful, I read out of Barry Harris' book. Barry Harris is a famous jazz keyboardist, and he wrote a book that outlines a lot of very great jazz vocabulary. If you don't know
Barry
what that,
Barry Harris.
Yeah, Barry Harris.
I want that. Barry Harris.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cool YouTube videos of him. He was a very big educator in jazz. But the thing that people don't know about jazz is that it's all based in vocabulary, and the vocabulary is something that you can learn. You can, like a scientist, you can learn how to play it.
Or a cook.
And then you
Let's
sound,
toss a little salt in.
Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
if people don't have the vocabulary,
yeah, yeah,
it
no,
doesn't really
I
sound.
Understand. Yeah, I have no vocabulary on the guitar.
Very
I
good.
Have made up my own.
But I think that goes for all styles of music. Yeah. I think all styles of music have vocabulary.
Where did the metronome idea? You're a scientist. Did it just, I've got to get a metronome. Where did you?
I've been doing
how
that for
that influence?
20 years. I don't even.
See, that to me, is that's part of piano instruction.
You know, it should be part of it.
I guess so. Because I certainly. I am a little bit older than you, and when I was a young girl learning to play the piano, you know, we didn't have electric metronomes. We had these little wind-up devices. They
yep.
look like giant triangles,
mm-hmm.
Little pyramid-y triangle things, and then it would go back and forth, and it's very mm-hmm. hypnotic. I lived with a metronome for a few years as a child, and it's just given me an infallible sense of
that
timing.
That was funny. I lived with with yeah. a metronome for years.
Yeah, I mean, wow. You know, I was obsessed with Bach. Yeah. And so that's
Baco's a big influence.
But
on me
you
as
know,
well.
Okay. So we got a lot of offline conversations because metronome is a fascinating concept. In fact, I had a birthday on June 20th, and I went to the city. It was very late. It had been a very difficult and disappointing day, but I was determined to celebrate my birthday, and it was about 11:30 at night, and two of my best friends and I were sitting at this bar down in Soho. And it had been a very horrible day. My car had died, and I didn't want to talk about any of that. And the conversation that we had on my birthday was about the development of the metronome and how it might have influenced Beethoven's use of tempos, because he would start doing metronome markings in all his sonatas. And we hashed that over for about 45 minutes past the midnight hour. That's how we brought my birthday in. So it's a very interesting topic for me, but we're going to move on.
Oh, no, that tempo is hugely important. Figuring out when I write the tempo meter on a new song that I'm writing, I have to make sure that it's exactly the right tempo or the song doesn't sound right.
Do you ever transcribe your music?
Write
it down.
I use a great program called Guitar Pro. I'm now.
Is it like a MIDI interface and it transcribes?
No, I write it all out. I think you can do that, but okay. That's not how I work.
So that piece that you just played was Allegretto.
I know that's Italian, but I forget what.
It's Allegretto. See, for me, the tempos, the tempo markings over a lifetime of playing a variety of music, largo and adagio and andante and allegretto and prestissimo and rallentando. And
I just used the number.
To me, that has a real physical, I have a real physical response to each of those directions.
That's cool.
But you use numbers. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I hope my listeners are enjoying the conversation as much as I am.
It's probably pretty nerdy. I'm sorry, guys.
No, well, you know, this is to me where the interest lies. But I also love hearing you play. Love hearing you play. Would you like to play something else for us, or would you like to listen to something from your new recording?
I would suggest, could we listen to Caveman?
Caveman. All right. So you didn't mention Caveman, and I was kind of holding my breath thinking you would.
Okay. So
tell me now.
Okay. I'll tell you now. So after college, didn't become a biologist, formed a band called The Daily Supplement.
The Daily Supplement.
Which we toured around the East Coast for 5 years, and I put everything in that I had into that band, and then it slowly imploded. And then I moved to New York City to study jazz full time. And I got my keister handed to me for about 7 or 8 years because everybody else in New York City had just spent 4 years at music school learning how to play all these songs, and I didn't know anything about it. So I really – it was a sink or swim situation, and I sunk for a while. But after a while, you know –
that can be pretty grimy in the village. You don't want to sink too low down there.
Right. Well,
sorry.
I was in Brooklyn, so
– oh, okay. That's better.
I went to jam sessions every week. I lived in a house – in an apartment with jazz musicians. We played sessions every day. And, you know, if you spend 5 years dedicated to doing something every day, you get better at it.
Absolutely.
During the Daily Supplement days that I first saw Caveman. And
Caveman is a band.
Caveman is a now defunct band. And I saw them at the Chapter House in Ithaca, New York, where the Daily Supplement was based in Ithaca for a while. And my life changed when I heard them play. I've never heard anyone play guitar with such facility. But it wasn't really just about the technique. It was the music itself was so beautiful. And it brought in all these interesting Brazilian rhythms and all this stuff that I had never heard.
Are they a trio? What are they like?
Caveman was a quartet. It featured John Lee on guitar.
John Lee.
Brian Marsala on keyboards, John Buck on bass, and Tim Kuiper on drums. Unfortunately, they aren't really a band anymore, but all of those guys are off doing great things.
And what year was that about that you heard them?
It would have been 2004, 2005. Yeah, yeah. So a lot of my influence for the music that I am creating now comes from being completely inspired by Caveman. And when I tell you that every show that I ever saw from them was the best show I've ever seen, I'm not exaggerating.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have to make a judgment about this.
Let's play
because, it. Because Matthew Albrecht, who is my guest on today's program, actually walked in and has one of their recordings. And so we're going to listen right now. This is Caveman, and this is John Lee on lead guitar. Check it out. I see what you mean. I see what you mean. So that must be something else live. That is that music just swirls and pulls you in.
It's incredibly organic.
They
studied at the New School, as far as I know. They weren't jazz nerds. They played music that was sounded like cavemen. It sounded like they were. I mean, that was part of the thing. You would go to see a spectacle of them playing a show. It was highly complicated and sophisticated music, but it hit you at this very
you feel the drive, that
primal. It was very primal music.
That tempo that you were talking about there, mm-hmm. And I'm a classical nerd. The Baroque nature of that repeated pattern over and mm-hmm. over and over and over in the wow. But when I think of Eyes of the Alligator, I feel that same kind of rhythmic drive.
Ostinata.
But it has a whole. Much more of a lyrical feel, your music today that we heard earlier.
Mm, thank you.
More lyrical, but I hear the influence. I really.
Cool.
So, John Lee, do you spell that L E E?
Yep.
L E E. Okay.
Yeah, he has.
Very cool. Caveman.
He has the unfortunate. his name is completely generic, unfortunately, but his music
it could have been Smith. It could have been.
Right. I mean, John Smith. So, shout out, John, if you're listening. Thanks for all your inspiration, buddy.
All right, I'm Kathy Geary. You're listening to Now and Then on today's program. You know, I really have been enjoying the company of Matthew Albrecht today. He's just released a new recording this morning. And before we get back into hearing some more of this new release from Matthew Albrecht, I just wanted to say, you know, this afternoon at noon, we here at Radio Catskill, we finished our summer fun drive. And it's over, and, you know, I'm so grateful to everybody who actually donates to the station. This is public radio. This is public radio. And I can't even tell you in my life what it's like to be able to walk into a fully professional digital studio and to be able to share what I think is important musically, whether it's the musicians that I know or the music that I love. It's an incredible part of my life. And so I am grateful personally, but also just for the general good of the public that we have public radio. And a big thank you to everybody who has donated. And if you haven't had a chance to donate yet, and if you were thinking, well, maybe I should have, well, you still can. We're counting on your support. You can give now at wjffradio.org and get us over the finish line. So we're not going to be, you know, pitching like we have been, and I hope I didn't disturb the flow too much here by reminding you and my gratitude for our summer fun drive. So thank you again. So today, this morning, Matthew Albrecht with his trio, The Immigrants, has released a new recording available on all platforms.
Yes.
Yes. And it's interesting because... you know, Eye of the Alligator, what an interesting song title. And yet when I have the music open in front of me here and I can see the names of the songs. And I mean, Flame of the Serpent. And then we've got Tarantula. You know, Spooky Disco. I mean, there's a real interesting vibe going on here. So I'm curious, if we were going to listen to another one of these tracks, which one would you like us to play next?
There's a nice story here. So
here's a story, people.
It'll be quick.
No, it's the extra special gift part. This is, you can only get this here.
On Wednesdays, for a while, I was going to play an open mic at Cabernet Franks. And every week when I would do that, I would listen to Radio Catskill. And the show that plays about 8:30 or 9 or something is the Underground Martini Bunker, which is my favorite program. I love Radio Catskill, by the way. Can I say that? Is that okay to say here?
No, thank you.
I love this radio station. And they, even like the Soul Deluxe and the party music on the weekends and the reggae, like everything is great.
I absolutely
love it. But anyway, so I was listening to the Underground Martini Bunker, which is a great show. And the DJ said, now I'm going to play this track by Les Baxter's orchestra. And we're going to go back and listen to this genre of music, exotica. And when I heard it, I realized, I think I'm not supposed to curse on here, but I said, holy crap. That's my music. I play exotica. I never had heard that before.
I've never heard that term myself.
Okay, so it's a style of music that they made with big bands in the 50s and 60s to have this out-of-world type sound. And
Oriental or Asian?
Some of it is that, really? But it's very much...
Atomic energy. Well, you really got me curious now, exotica.
I think he played Les Baxter's Quiet Village, which is a very cool ostinato... Okay. Pattern. If you don't know Les Baxter, please do yourself a favor. Okay. He's one of the best arrangers I've ever heard. It's funny. I don't think he's that great of a composer, but I mean, some of his compositions are classic, but his true art form, like, you know, some people are great technicians. Some people are good songwriters. His arrangements are so beautiful. And I can even recognize when I'm listening to him, okay, this isn't like the greatest melody I've ever heard, but that's not what he's trying to do. He's arranging it in such a way that makes all the instruments sing. It's almost the melody is almost secondary, which is wild to me.
That's something that I never really paid much attention to, and still I started to do this broadcasting of this show. And then I discovered that I could recognize producers. And then I discovered this man, Paul Buckmaster, who was an amazing orchestrator, orchestrated everything for Elton John all the way through Moonlight Mile for the Stones and all the way through David Bowie stuff. I mean, an amazing, and I had to uncover his abilities because he wasn't the composer, but his influence was... permeated every musician that he touched.
Well, they have great arrangers have a vision of what the song needs to sound like.
Well, orchestration and arrangement, I think they're very similar, but not exactly, not entirely. But so
anyway,
we're leading up to it. I hope you guys are loving this.
Are we having fun, Kathy?
Les Baxter, and then somehow we were talking about the spooky disco and the serpents and the alligators and tarantulas. So, oh my God, help!
So Quiet Village. Influenced me to write Flame of the Serpent. If we can listen to Flame of the Serpent, I think this is the second track on the album.
Okay, from Matthew Albeck and his band The Immigrants, just released this morning. This is Flame of the Serpent. Any second now. Okay, just a second. Let's backpedal for a second while I wait for my computer to respond.
Sure. You all listening out there, listen for the ostinato. This song is, and a lot of Latin music is based on an ostinato, which is a repeating pattern in the bass line. But for a composer and arranger, it's a great way to start a new project. You just start with a simple bass line, and you'll notice that this could not be simpler.
Thank you.
That song is called Flame of the Serpent, and that's with Matthew Albeck and the Immigrants, just released this morning. And I'm really excited. I'm Kathy Geary, and on today's program, we've got Matthew Albeck live here in the studio with us. And I don't know if you've just tuned in, but I hope you've had a chance to listen to some of the conversation that we've had, because he's live in the studio, and I'm going to ask him if he would please indulge us with another song. So, Matthew.
Sure.
What would you like to play?
So, another story, I guess. But much like we're sitting here chumming it up, talking about influences, Flea has a podcast now. And a recent guest on Flea's podcast was John Frusciante, who I mentioned earlier is one of my favorite guitarists. And that experience of listening to him talk about all of his influences and his guitar teachers, and some of them were good and some of them were bad. And I'm a music teacher myself, and so that was really cool to listen to. But yeah, so after that, listening to that interview of Frusciante, I was really inspired, and a day or two later I wrote this song. This goes out to Flea and Frusciante and all the Chili Peppers. This is called Funk Monsters.
Okay, people, here it comes. Funk Monster. Matthew, that's fabulous.
Thank you.
Wonderful tribute to Flea. So we're going to listen to another track from the new recording. But before we do that, there is one announcement I'd like to make. There is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 9 p.m. tonight for much of our listening area, including Sullivan, Delaware, and Ulster counties in New York, and Wayne and Pike counties in Pennsylvania. That's a severe thunderstorm watch. Showers and thunderstorms are expected this afternoon and evening. Isolated storms may become severe with damaging winds. Isolated flash flooding is also a possibility. Chance of showers tapers off in the overnight with a low of 53. But tomorrow is a beautiful day, cool and dry, mostly sunny, and a high of 72. So just be safe. All right, so Matthew Albick has been performing extensively in our area. Maybe you've had a chance to see him. And if you have a chance, Matthew, would you like to tell us where they might be able to catch you playing live?
Sure. Well, as I said before, most Saturdays I have a residency at the Old Foundation, so come on by and have some of...
Where is that?
That's in Canosa Lake, where I live. I shouldn't have said that. but
scratch that.
If you haven't been to the Old Foundation, please come out and check out Ian's amazing food and Jessica's hospitality. It's a really good hang, and I'm really blessed to go and play there every week and eat Ian's pasta. And we have a good time there.
Nice.
But tonight I'll be at Rafter's Tavern from 7 to 9 with a great band, also featuring Robert Kopeck. This is The Elements cool. with Robert on bass and the great... local musician Julian Giamo on drums.
All right.
So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent, excellent. Well, before we say goodbye this afternoon, I would like to hear this one more track. And you had suggested the song Tarantula. Are we still going to go with Tarantula?
I think we will.
And so you had a visual image. So I'm very curious what this is going to evoke. You see, this music was just released this morning, and the only song that I've had a chance to hear was Eyes of the Alligator, because I've heard it live. So we're all listening to this for the first time together. So I don't know what to expect for Tarantula, but I'm holding my breath. Let's see. All right. This is Matthew Albick with The Immigrants, Tarantula. is Crowley, is Tarantula. And that's Matthew Albeck with The Immigrants. It's been a real pleasure having you here today, Matthew.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me.
So the cool thing is that that music is just released today, just out into the world today, and already on the airwaves.
Indeed.
But tell us more.
Yes. As I was saying before, you know, if you got a couple bucks in your wallet, please purchase the album at Apple Music or any other platforms you can find and stream from, Spotify. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to release an album that I'm proud about. So it was really fun to come here and talk about my music. And yeah, thanks for finally asking me
who
my influences are.
I know that's a deep dive. Well, you know, I have the feeling this is not the last time that you're going to be recording and releasing music. I get the sense this is what you wrap your life around. It's very exciting to hear what you've been doing.
It's what I was born to do.
So, you know, we're going to hear from Matthew again because this is not the end of the story. And I'm looking forward to how this all unfolds. And I hope my listeners will appreciate the music that they've heard on today's program. Kathy Geary, you've been listening to Now and Then. I hope you enjoyed the music on today's program, Matthew Albeck live in the studio. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. And once again, thank you so much for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
You're listening to Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville, W233AH Monticello.
Your community radio station.
On air, online, on your smartphone, on your smart speaker.
Keeping you connected.
Your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
We are Radio Catskill.